All right, this is our second lesson on the book of Job. Of course, we're not going through the book of Job. This is not our intention on these devotions, is to do an exposition of the Bible from verse to verse of the whole Bible. So we're not going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's not the nature of our devotions as of right now. And so yesterday we read the first verse of the book of Job, and so I want to continue another 15 minutes on a thought from the book of Job, or about the book of Job. Job is a Shemite. He comes from, the tribe of Shem. And this becomes important because all 40 authors of the Bible, 39 of them are Jewish. Now, Job is not a Jew. A Jew comes from Isaac, comes from Israel, comes from Jacob. That's what a Jew is. A Jew comes from the tribes of Israel. That's what a Jew is. So any of the 12 tribes are called Jews. Some people restrict the word Jew to the tribe of Judah, but that's not true either. If you actually follow the term, a Jew is representative of any of the 12 tribes of Israel, not just one tribe or two tribes. Job is not a Jew, but Job is of the tribe of Shem. Now, there were three sons of Noah. You had Ham, Shem, and Japheth was the three sons of Noah. And Job, though he's not a Jew, he is a Shemite. And so all 40 authors of the Bible are from the tribe of Shem. And that's very important. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit about in these next 12 to 13 minutes. And it's going to have to do with the covenants of the Bible. Of course, we're not going to go through all the covenants, but I want to read from Genesis chapter 9 and verse 25 through 27. And these are the blessings. One curse is pronounced. The blessing on all three sons is given in Genesis 9 and verse number 1. And Genesis 9, 1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons." And so we see there that God had blessed all the sons of Noah. But then something takes place between Ham and his father, Noah. And then we come to verse 25 of Genesis chapter 9. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Now this is why all 40 authors of the Bible are Shemites. Because the Bible says here in verse 26, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." So the Bible says that he would be the God of Shem. Now he did not say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Japheth," or "Blessed be the Lord God of Ham." He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." So Shem would be a very special race of these three races here. And so we should expect the Bible to come from this tribe. We should also expect wisdom and most all religions to come from this tribe as well. And so that's exactly what has happened. All religions of the world come from the East. And but the true religion comes from the East, obviously, is biblical Christianity. Now, then we come to verse number, then the Bible says, "And Canaan shall be his servant." In verse 27, "And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now, if we look in the history of the world, we see exactly what has happened here. In verse 25 through 27, God tells us in these three verses here how the history of the world would unfold through these three races. Okay, so let's explain that just real quick, because the covenant that is given here is still going on through today. Matter of fact, all the covenants from Genesis 12 through Genesis chapter 22 are still in effect today. That's very important for us to understand. A lot of people think that God has done away with some of the covenants, but he hasn't. There's only one covenant today that God has done away with, and that was a covenant made with Moses. God had put the children of Israel under the law of Moses, and God has done away with that covenant, but that covenant will come back again in the tribulation period. We find the temple worship, sacrifices, the law, and everything else coming back into play in Daniel's 70th week because we're dealing with Israel. But the fact is, these covenants are still in place here. And so, if we look into history, we find this is exactly how it's playing out. That is, number one, we have Shem being blessed by God. And so we have the Jews and we have the Shemites being responsible for the Bible. And then we have Japheth in verse 27. The Bible says, "God shall enlarge Japheth." That means this. That means Japheth would expand. And that's exactly what has happened. If we look at it, they went from England and then to the United States. And so we find Japheth expanding. Okay. Also, it says this. and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That's exactly what has happened too. Matter of fact, if you looked at America, that's exactly what we did. And I'm not trying to be too funny here, but Japheth stole the tents of Shem, literally, and dwelt in their tents. And so literally Japheth ends up taking the tents of Shem. And so we see that Japheth is more of the conqueror. He's the one that conquers the world, and he events, he enlarges himself. And so when we think of, you know, the Western world, Americans, Europeans, we're not responsible for any religions. Matter of fact, when we as the white man, Japheth, when we try to make a religion, we always fail. And so, matter of fact, if you look at the Proverbs, the 31 Proverbs, the wisdom, wisdom does not come from Greece. Wisdom does not come from America. Wisdom does not come from Europe. Wisdom comes from the East. And the Bible says that's exactly how it is. Job is a book of wisdom. It comes from the East. And so, Japheth, the white man, is good at inventing. So the Bible, I think the Bible will clearly state through prophecy that we're responsible for sending people to the moon. We're responsible for inventions. We're responsible for, you know, automobiles. We're responsible for, you know, all kinds of inventions and all kinds of technology. And so we see that Japheth becomes very responsible for invention. But when it comes to religion, Japheth just tries to manufacture what's given him to the East. And so when we look at this topic, and I'm going to go into something very, very clearly about the Bible. Japheth is not responsible for giving us our Bible. But the fact is, Japheth wants to try to steal the religion from Shem as well. And we find this especially when it comes to the Greek philosophers. And so that's what the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:8, to beware of philosophy. Because the one thing that happened with Aristotle and Plato and all these men is they wanted to take credit for wisdom. But I'm going to guarantee you what happened. Whatever wisdom that Plato, Aristotle, or Socrates had, by the way, they were wrong on 90% of it, but the 10% they did get right, let me tell you where they got it from. They got it from fragments of the Bible. They got it from the East. All right? All wisdom and all blessings from God come from the East. The Bible says it there in Genesis chapter 9. So we should expect things to unfold just the way God said they would unfold. For instance, you'll find Canaan. Canaan is a black person. Hamites, so they're the black race. The Bible says they would serve both Shem and they would serve Japheth. Now, have they done that? Yes. The Arabs were taking African slaves way before we ever had slavery in America. And so the tribe of Shem was using Africans as slaves. We did the same thing as Europeans and as the Bible calls us, Japhethites. We took him in as slaves. And so the Bible says that him, because of this curse, and a lot of people say, well, why did God curse that race? Because he could not reverse the blessing. God had given a blessing in Genesis 9:1, and then him committed a sin, and according to God, somewhat unpardonable. And so God can't reverse the blessing. You'll find that in Jacob. When Esau comes to Jacob, comes to Isaac after Isaac blessed Jacob, what did Isaac tell Esau? I've already given the blessing away. You see, the blessing can't be reversed. And so Isaac could not reverse the blessing. And so Esau says, you have just one more blessing for me. And so, yeah, he says, well, you'll be a great, you know, you have dukes and you'll be like, you'll have a great kingdom, you know, with all these dukes and stuff. And so he was able to give a material blessing. Okay, he gave a material blessing to Esau. So this brings up an interesting point. What's more important, material blessings or spiritual blessings? Spiritual. Now, Jacob may have got some material blessings, but I'm going to tell you what Jacob got. He got the spiritual blessing. And that teaches us a lesson. That teaches us, if we want a spiritual lesson, okay, then we got to seek the things that are above. And that's what Jacob was seeking. Jacob understood the importance of the birthright. He understood the importance of the spiritual blessings that he could get. And Jacob always understood that. Esau missed it. The Bible says Esau was a hunter. There's only two hunters in the Bible. Both of them are negative. Esau and Nimrod. Both of them are mighty hunters. Well, one was a mighty hunter. Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Okay, he started the first rebellion. And then you have Esau, men of the field. They were materialistic. That's like Cain. You know, Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Now, did not God tell Cain back in the Genesis? Did not God tell Cain that the earth was cursed? But he goes to a cursed earth and he tries to find blessing from the earth. He tries to find blessing from the world. He tries to find the blessing from that which God has cursed. And so we learn a lesson here, and that is God blesses those who seek the things that are above, those who try to obtain this spiritual blessing. So we learn here that Shem has a promise of spiritual blessings. Now, here's my question. That is, Who did God use to write the Bible? The Jew. Jesus comes along. The Roman Catholics come along and they decide what should be in the Bible. And the Bible says the Jews should decide what's in the Bible. The Jew decided there were 39 books in the Old Testament. The Catholics come along, Jesus comes along, and Jesus says, no, there's 46. But the Bible says no, Shem is responsible for the spiritual blessing. So let's be sure to make sure that we're looking at the Bible and realizing that God blesses us through Shem, and that's where the spirituality comes from. It comes through Shem, who came through Shem? Of course, the tribe of Judah, and then David, and then Jesus comes through the tribe of Shem. And so we get our spiritual blessings from Israel, not from Japheth. And so that's why God has given us the unconditional covenant to Abraham. Abraham was of the tribe of Shem. God gave it an unconditional covenant to Shem. He gave an unconditional covenant to Abraham. Now, there are some covenants in the Bible that are conditional. Okay, you and I are under a conditional covenant right now. That condition is we got to receive Jesus. So it's conditional. Jesus has died for our sins, buried, and has risen again from the grave. But there's a condition to the covenant. The covenant requires that you and I receive him. There's a condition for Israel ruling and reigning on this earth. There's a condition for that. The condition is that they repent. But the fact is, there's an unconditional part of this covenant. And God says that Abraham's seed, unconditionally, were God the Father's children. Israel was a son of God, son of the Father. And so very clearly, God has always had a covenant with Israel, and there is a unconditional part of this covenant, and that is no matter what, God's going to bring these people back to himself, and they will be saved in the end. And so that nation is very important in the whole context of the scriptures. And so we're never to lose sight of all of the scriptures when it comes to us as Gentiles and them as Jews and then the Christians. So let me close by saying this, and I don't want to cover too many topics this morning, and again, I could go into some other things, but I don't want to be too long because we're only doing these for 15 to 18 minutes. That'll probably be our next. We'll have another study tomorrow on some additions to this. So let's go ahead and go back and review real quick. First of all, Job is from the tribe of Shem. Shem receives the blessings from God. The spiritual line comes through Shem to us as Japheth. We receive their blessings by receiving Jesus Christ. And so these three people, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, are still under a covenant today. So here's the warning. Today, the world says everybody needs to get together. You ever read Revelation chapter 13? Revelation chapter 13 says that there's a dragon that is like a leopard. You ever read that in the Bible? Well, a leopard has black spots and it has yellow skin and it has a white belly. Okay, that represents the three races. You see, the world today wants to get everybody together. They want to try to erase all distinctions. In other words, I think women become men, men become women. You know, we're trying to do all this. We're trying to get everybody to be one today. When the Bible says that there's three distinct peoples on this earth, and let's give their races. There's the Mongoloid, that's the Eastern people. There's the Negroid, that's the African Hamite people. And then there's the Caucasian, that's the white people. Okay, you got three major races on this earth. You can include the Orient along with the Arabians. That's all one race there. So you got three major races in this world. And the Bible says that they're all different. And so you can look at this and look at cultures and things of that nature and see that there's a distinctions between the three. And so, but we have a world today, we have a world system today that wants to try to integrate everybody together as one. And all we end up getting is a Babel or Babylon. We end up getting confusion. And that's the problem today with doctrine. People do not want to make distinctions. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to divide the Word of God. That's one thing people do not want to do today. They do not want to divide. And that was the problem in Genesis chapter 10. They did not want to separate. The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. There are divisions. There are rights and wrongs. There's black and whites. And that we're living in a society that wants to erase all those blacks and whites and makes everything gray. And so we got to integrate everything, make everything one, and the Bible says, no, we make distinctions, we separate, we divide, we make sure we got things in the right place. And so I'll close by saying that be careful to fall, be careful for falling for the propaganda that says that oh, well, you know, there's not a difference between a white man and a black man. There's not a difference between a black man and a Mongoloid. There's not a difference between a Caucasian and a Mongoloid. No, there's a lot of differences. There's difference in music taste. There's difference in appetite. There's differences in all kinds of things. Music alone would show you that there's a big difference between Africans and Europeans. Africans like to beat drums. Europeans use, seven whole notes and how many five half notes. And so it's got 12 keys. You go into Asia, the Mongoloids, they work with 22 different keys in their music. You'll notice that to get a Mongoloid to appreciate European music and to get an African to appreciate, it's very difficult, to get them to appreciate somebody else's music because, God has made distinctions. And so when we come to the Bible, we have to make distinctions. In other words, there are people that they'll go to hell from Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25, because they don't want to make a distinction. They'll go to hell from the Sermon on the Mount because they don't want to make distinctions. God calls Paul and says, you're the gospel to the Gentiles. And you got some Gentiles saying, no, I want to follow the apostle to the Jew. And so what happens is people don't make distinctions and divide the word of God properly. So what happens? People go to hell with good intentions. The Bible says, we often use the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions won't get you to heaven. The truth will get you to heaven. So it's very important in closing this, as we're talking about the book of Job, to make distinctions when you're reading the Word of God and to divide the Word of God properly, which requires study. And that's what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do, study the Bible. So keep coming here. Keep listening to us from day to day. You'll continue to learn things, bits and pieces of things. And before long, you'll be able to put some things together and help you to understand the Bible a little bit better. May God bless you today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.